You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Skakuya, Tilitin, Homasquim, Astail. All right. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope everyone is having a wonderful, fantastic start of their day. It is very sunny out, so please go out and enjoy the sun. You know, this weekend didn't have the best weather. It was snowing a little bit, and there was a little bit of rain. But right now, it's beautiful, and the sky's blue. And, you know, there's nothing better than to just go out for a walk to clear your mind, especially when finals are coming up. Speaking of finals, I hope everyone is not too stressed about how they're going to do, or they're not too stressed about like the studying methods or how it's going. But regardless of how it's going, I hope everyone is able to successfully finish it all off. And, you know, summer is coming. Summer break is coming soon. We're almost there, guys. We're almost at the end of our semester, and I believe that we can all end it successfully, and we can, you know, really enjoy our summer. All right. Before we start off today, I will be putting on a song. This is one of the songs that came out in my favorite show called Suits. Born a Dreamer, featuring BJ the Chicago Kid, by The Phantoms. And while we listen to this, I want you guys to kind of feel a bit motivated to get through another assignment or another, you know, any last midterms or anything like that. And then we could hopefully start off with a fresh mind and start going at it again. All right, let's get into it.
Got the will in my soul. The whole world's gonna see it. Yeah, I was born a dreamer. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'ma come from all from, show 'em what I got. Yeah, I was born a dreamer. Yeah, 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 yeah. Get ready, 'cause the world's gonna see that I was born a dreamer. Ain't taking no for an answer. Ain't quitting till I'm done. I'll be the last one standing. I'm going out for blood. Overcoming is just what I do. It's part of my design. Give me a wall and I'll break on through. I'll be chilling on the other side. Got my eyes on the prize. I feel the pain, but I'm reaching deeper. I was born a dreamer. Yeah, 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 yeah. I'm the proof of my all from, show 'em what I got. Yeah, I was born a dreamer. Yeah, 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 yeah. Get ready, 'cause the world's gonna see that I was born a dreamer. Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was the by the Phantoms, Born a Dreamer, featuring BJ the Chicago Kid. And I honestly don't have like a specific preference for music. Usually the music I listen to are from movies or shows, because as I mentioned before, probably whenever I hear that song, it kind of reminds me of what kind of emotional state or feeling I got, you know, during this specific scene of that movie or show. And that's why I like to listen to it, because not only is it good music, it's also giving me some sort of like feeling and emotion. And whenever I feel down or unmotivated, that's kind of getting me back on track. And most of the songs in Suits are kind of badass, so, you know, I love that. All right, today we are going to be discussing movies, but I also want to give two announcements. One is the AGM, the annual general meeting, is coming up at CITR, and it's happening tonight at 6 p.m. at the atrium. And we will be having an after party at the station with karaoke. And we are also going to be offering free food. The only prerequisite for you guys to attend is to be a member at CITR, which you guys can do literally at like right here. You know, you guys can come at 6 p.m. and just sign up as a member and be eligible to attend this meeting. There are going to be a lot of things happening. We will be discussing some financial plans, and we will be electing a new vice president and a president, along with some new staff members. Secondly, I decided to kind of incorporate some interviewing episodes as well, because although I mean, it's another word for bringing in guests, but I want to, you know, bring in people from, you know, different expertise or anyone that's kind of passionate in a certain area, and I want to form a discussion about, you know, that area of study. And I think it'll be really cool to kind of learn about, you know, these people and how they started off by, you know, working in that kind of expertise. And I always loved interviewing people. It's really fascinating to see, not only kind of hear their work and understand it, but where it came from. You know, what were they like when, you know, they were young? Or if they are young, what were they like when they were a kid? And what hints did they pick up on that eventually led them to whatever they're doing or wherever they're at right now? And I find that really fascinating, because everyone has a different road and everyone has different things that they're interested in and, you know, strengths and weaknesses. And it's really cool of how people can use that to climb whatever their goals or desires may be. Today, I will be discussing a movie called The Platform. It is a thriller horror, which is ironic for me because I only usually discuss rom-coms, which are generally more happier and more lovey-dovey topics. But I think this recent movie that I watched is pretty interesting, and I feel like there's going to be a lot to talk about. It is a Spanish movie. It is on Netflix. So anybody who has Netflix, you guys can just go on ahead and watch it. It's only an hour and 34 minutes, so it's a pretty short and sweet movie. It came out in 2019, and a brief summary of the movie is basically these people are in this prison. But it's not just an ordinary prison. It's kind of like a building where there's 333 levels, and they are given food on this platform, but it starts off at the first level and it goes down each level, and they only get a specific amount of time for each level to have their food. Each level has two inmates. It is a prison. And they get maybe a couple minutes to eat as much as they can, and then the platform goes down to each level. Just a heads up, I will be spoiling a bunch of stuff just because I feel like it's really hard to discuss movies without having to expose some of the juicy details. But as we continue, the problem with this, with not the method of food distribution amongst the inmates, it's about how people are very selfish on the top level, because this whole prison cell, as you can say, is a representation almost in our society where the wealthier people are on the top level, which means they'll get more food and the fresh, you know, good, you know, foods that are that just been made. And then as you go lower and lower, and as more people start to eat the food on the platform, the less food and less quality of the food, you know, it becomes on the platform. And then by the time it doesn't even need to reach to the end, probably around halfway through the levels, there is no food left at all. And there are some instances where cannibalism is involved. And, you know, it's a pretty interesting yet little gory movie. So what did I get from this movie it's very hard because to kind of say what is right or wrong. Obviously, we know what's right or wrong, but the reason why I'm careful is because I've never been in that situation where I'm so desperate for something and I would literally do anything for it. And yeah, of course, you know, if you go down the morality route, you know, and say, okay, yeah, regardless of whatever the circumstances are, you shouldn't do certain stuff. And I agree with that. But I don't think I'm in the position to say or judge any of the inmates in the cell, just because I don't know what they've been through. And I'm not justifying their actions, but again, I don't want to say, oh, you're a bad person, or you know, I would have never done that or whatnot. There is a similar movie like this called, I believe it's called Starving. Hold on a second. Let me search this up. Yeah, it's called Starving. And hold on a sec. Is this called Starving? Yeah, it's along the word starving, and it's basically about the same thing, but it's not a prison cell. It's about this man kind of locking people in a room and then starving them and having them, like, attack each other, and whoever wins gets food. But yeah, that's basically a thing about basically a summary about the movie. And if we go back to what I got from it, is the easiest thing you could say is, okay, there was enough food for everyone in the platform, which is kind of debatable, because if everyone had a chance to eat, I feel like not everyone would have had enough. I feel like, you know, they had to take turns saying, like, the first 100 level gets to eat for one day, and then the next 100 level gets to eat the other day. But instead, they kind of... Well, first of all, they didn't even ration out the food. They just ate as much as they could, and then on to the next level. And by the time it doesn't even reach the end, people are just starving down there, and they're just dying. And it just shows how selfish people are, because although they are all aware that there's so many other people down in each level, and this one platform is the only food source that they'll ever get, it doesn't stop them from eating as much food as they can. And the thing is that it's not like the platform is given every month or every week. They're given the platform, in my understanding, every day. And, you know, starving for one day isn't going to do much, right? And they're still so, you know, selfish about, oh, yeah, I want to get all the food. And I heard this from a bodybuilder on YouTube, and he says there are three things that we as humans all urge to do, and that is sexual activity, and hunger, and you know, going to the washroom and doing number one or two. Those are the three things that basically we kind of almost need to do to survive, or, you know, some we don't need, but you know what I mean. And it kind of shows how we're all living and doing different things that probably the animals in our world don't do. But if you go down to the core, we're pretty much kind of like animals. You know, we're considered mammals, and we need to eat. We have to eat, and that's just ingrained in our heads. And, you know, I know the struggle of hunger and just getting irritated every second. And you just get mad when you see food and you just can't eat it, and it's horrible, and you just can't think about anything but to have just a crumb. And I'm kind of almost fascinated of how much power this has over me. You know, sometimes I think that I can withstand hunger or withstand pain or stress, but when it actually comes to me, I'm like, whoa, yo, this is way more difficult to deal with than I thought it would be. And that's exactly the reason why I don't want to really judge anyone at the cell, although most of the stuff they did is not good. But yeah, I guess the lesson of this movie is to kind of not be selfish, you know, despite whatever circumstance you're in, because everyone, this is a good quote that I heard from I think I said this in one of my podcasts. It was from my philosophy teacher in high school, in my senior year. And she said, "We're not all on the same boat, but we're in the same tornado." I think that's what she said. I definitely remember that she said we're not all on the same boat, because some people are in yachts and some people are in canoes, and some people, you know, they're depending on where we're from. We're not all on the same boat, but we're all in the same tornado, or the same. What is it? What was that? Wait, not tornado. What was that? What's that like? I forgot, like the tornado forming in like the ocean. I forgot what it was called. So, yeah, anyways. And, you know, I completely go on that. You know, some people, and in this case, in the movie, people who are on the upper level are on a different boat, but they're still in the cell with all those people. But instead of kind of sharing their resources, they're just eating it all up. And I guess the lesson is to share and think about other people also being in your position. And if you were in that position, you would also want help. And you know what I realized is, you know, I feel like there's a domino effect in our society all the time. And what I mean by that is, if one person starts to do it, not much influence is there, depending on the person. But once quite a bit of people, or whatever action you want to take, is kind of well known, that's when that just trickles down to so many people. And whether it's kindness or ignorance or anything like that, or selfishness, it just trickles down. And that's exactly what happened in the platform. The upper level people just were selfish enough to eat as much food as they can. And that just sent the message to the people in the bottom level saying, okay, yeah, when I'm at the top level, see what's, you know, I'm not going to give you any food, and I'm going to eat as much as I can, so you don't even get the crumb I'm getting right now. And it's almost like it's building hatred towards each other, and they don't even know each other. But but the hatred is growing because they're being selfish with one thing that they all have to kind of share. And at the end of the movie, big spoiler, the key was to give up the young girl. I don't really know how she survived the platform, but apparently she did. And at first I didn't understand why the young girl at the bottom level was the key to this whole cell. But apparently she kind of signifies purity. And the main character, and, you know, at the end, although he was hungry and starving, he still found the thought of wanting to save the kid. And there's, you know, there's a scene where the main character, I forgot his name, but he saves a cake. It's like a special name for the cake. It's like a fancy name. But he saves the cake because, you know, he thought that was the key, you know, to stop this madness. But it wasn't. And even before he knew that the cake wasn't the key, he was still able to give the kid the cake because the kid was hungry. And I feel like no matter how starving you are, you know, seeing a child starving with you it's just going to give you a different feeling. And that's exactly what it did to the main character. And that's why, you know, I feel I'd like to say that the ending was very broad and unexplained, but I hope that the inmates were able to realize that, you know, starving a day is not that big of a deal. And there's more people to worry about since they're all in the same environment and they're all fighting the same urge. But yes, I highly recommend this movie. It's a great movie. It's very interesting because, you know, I always thought that movies that took place in the same location throughout the entire movie is very boring. But in this case, you're fully engaged with what's happening in the cell and you're learning about what people are thinking and why they're doing certain things. And you start to think about, okay, if I was in that situation, would I do the same or would I do something different and why would I do it different? A lot of things go through your head while watching this movie. And I also think that platform kind of acts as both a devil and an angel, both as good and bad, just because it has the power to give people food, but it also has the power to kill people. You know what I'm saying? Because the platform will have food at the first couple levels, but it won't towards the end, which is why it's almost evil, but the evil is not created by the platform. But, you know, it still makes sense because the platform is giving the opportunity for people to share the food. But despite what they do, it's still going to come up the next day and the next day. You know, it doesn't matter what the choices are and how much food is short. It'll still give the exact same amount of food and it'll just continue on. All right, that is basically it for the movie or the meaty portion of this show. I will go through some ads and some PSAs. We will be back and I guess we'll go through some fun facts and then end the show like it is. Once again, it's a beautiful day today. It's truly amazing out. I mean, there is some wind, but it's very, very nice. So please go outside and enjoy the sun and, you know, the view. All right, shall we get started?
Guayaquil yerba mate. Yerba mate is a naturally caffeinated drink that comes in a variety of formats, from loose leaf to cans to bottles. Yes, the yellow ones. Guayaquil mate is all organic, non-GMO, and sure to make you come to life. Guayaquil is more than just a yerba mate brand. They're focused on personal, social, ecological, and cultural growth through their commitment to regenerative practices, which include stewarding the South Atlantic rainforest and partnering with indigenous South American communities through the production of yerba mate. Visit guayaquil.com, G-U-A-Y-A-K-I.com, to learn more and find this delicious drink near you. Or stop by CITR station on UBC campus for a free yerba mate can.
Please fall into a deep, comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should, you should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, look, what am I doing? Why am I this way? You need a kick in the ass once in a while.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bethy Creston Presents radio show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format. Difficult music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up, collage, and general Creston weirdness. Bethy Creston Presents, Friday at 2 o'clock on CITR FM 101.9. Streaming at theplayer.citr.ca.
Discover Noreen Braun's album Songs for Trees, dedicated to the forests and the spirits within the trees. As we fight climate change, trees are the lungs of the planet and we need to help them. Her jazz and blues are blended with rock and synthesized pop elements to create a textured and ambient soundtrack to nature. Songs for Trees is a narrative, with each song guiding us through a journey through the forest. A trip, literally and metaphorically, about the interconnectedness of all things. The Vancouver Sun names it one of five albums you need to hear. Find out more at noreenbraun.com.
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
All right, we are back. Who is ready for some fun facts? All right. Just before I do that, once again, the AGM, the annual general meeting, is coming up tonight at 6 p.m. It's going on at the atrium, which is in the Nest, I believe. And there's going to be free food and karaoke. So please, please, please come. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be so much fun. You're going to be able to meet so many CITR members, and, you know, student execs are going to be there, former presidents, vice presidents, staff members. It's going to be amazing. So please come. It's going to be so fun. We're going to be doing a lot of exciting stuff. All you need to do is be a member at CITR, but don't you worry if you are not, because you can literally become a member when you come here. You can just sign up when you come here. Or you can just go to CITR.ca and become a member, or go to the AMS, I believe, clubs, and then just sign up. It's no biggie. just please come. You know, I feel like we all need a break from a lot of the work we're going at, and the stress. You know, this is your time to kind of release your stress. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you don't know anyone. You know, just come on in. We're all going to be open to talk. I will be open to talk to anyone. It's going to be so much fun. Come on. So, moving on. All right. First one for today. Flamingos bend their legs at the ankle, not the knee. Oh, what? Okay, here's the thing, though. If you guys ever seen a dog or anything like that, the dogs, I don't really know, because the paws are the ones that's touching the ground, but then the toe is, like, the toe is not. It's kind of, like, up, like, 10 centimeters up. So I don't really know what classifies as, like, the foot of a dog. I feel like it's the same for flamingos. It's, like, when you see it, it's kind of, like, one leg, and you kind of see the knee, but, like, where's the ankle? That doesn't really make sense. All right. Actually, I'll read the description. They essentially stand up on tiptoe. Oh, their knees are closer to the body and are covered by feathers. That, okay, makes sense. This is just the first of many weird facts. Oh, I see. All right. Next one. Ice pops were invented by an 11-year-old by accident. In 1905, an 11-year-old boy named Frank Epperson left soda powder and water outside overnight, with its wooden stirrer still in the cup. The mixture had frozen in the chilly nighttime weather, and so the Epsicle was born. He sold the treat around his neighborhood and a nearby amusement park, and even patented the recipe. Years later, he changed the name to Popsicle because that's what his kids called their Pops concoction. And if you like these, and the rest is kind of, wow, that's interesting. You know what? Honestly, it kind of makes sense because, you know, Ice Pops and kids, we've all would have traded an Ice Pop for dinner when we were young kids. Sloths can hold their breath longer than dolphins. That's pretty ironic. By slowing their heart rates, sloths can hold their breath for up to 40 minutes. Dolphins need to come up for air after about 10 or so minutes. If you guys ever searched up how to hold your breath in for longer, that's actually a method to calm your heart rate down and to really breathe in slowly and breathe out and really slower the heart rate, you know, by time. And that will help you hold your breath in longer. That's why when people say you're drowning or you're in panic, although this is very, very difficult, you do have to stay calm, because not only will it help you kind of, you know, not die, but if you were to be sunk in water, you'll be able to kind of hold your breath for a bit longer. But yeah. All right. This one is Fruit Loops. Loops are all the same flavor. Okay, I feel like this goes with Skittles. I think I was smart enough to figure out that the red Skittles did not have anything to do with flavor compared to the blue ones or the green ones or the yellow ones. However, I am guilty to say that I thought Fruit Loops had a different flavor. So my go-to cereal when I was younger was Fruit Loops, sometimes Nesquik chocolate balls, and Frosted Flakes. And I still love Frosted Flakes, but the other ones are kind of eh for me. And, you know, now that I think back, I really thought that the purple one kind of had like a grapey flavor, and the blue ones kind of had this other flavor. But that's interesting. I feel like this should be something that they should disclose to young kids and just see how they react to these flavors that they think have a flavor. Supermarket apples can be a year old. Okay, that's kind of gross. Here's the description. These weird facts might have you changing the way you eat. Those fresh apples aren't all that fresh, per se. They're usually picked between August and November, covered in wax, hot air dried, and sent into cold storage. After 6 to 12 months, they finally land on your grocery store shelves. Okay, this is why I try to not eat the skin of the apple. Well, most of the time, my dad doesn't want the skin of the apple, so I would cut him for him. But whenever you kind of wash a fruit, it is very waxy. So I use warm water to really scrub all that wax off. But most of the time, I just like to eat it without the skin. But I also like it with the skin because it adds a bit of a crunch. And I love crunchy foods. It's just so good. Especially in a burger, like a crispy bacon or crispy chicken or anything like that. It's just a huge plus for me. Ugh, but this is kind of disgusting. Anyways, no more apples for me. All right. It's impossible to hum while holding your nose. Huh. I don't know. Okay, here it is. You just tested it, didn't you? Yes, I did. Normally, when you hum, the air is able to escape through your nose to create the sound. And of course, it can't do that when you're holding it shut. I just tried it, and whenever you hum, there's basically air building up like by your nose. And so there is no releasing of the humming. So I guess this makes sense. I think I may have mentioned this. Octopuses have 3 hearts. Yes. Oh, I don't really understand this one. Most wasabi paste... Oh, I see. Most wasabi paste isn't real wasabi. Yeah, hold on. I'm just going to tone down. Oh, wait. Yeah. All right, yeah. Most wasabi paste isn't real wasabi. Wasabi is expensive, so most companies use horseradish instead. Real wasabi is actually milder than what you've been getting with your sushi. That's... Ooh. Have you guys ever seen people bring their own wasabi into restaurants? And it's not paste. It's very interesting. It's like... It looks like ginger. And they bring like a grinder. And you grind the wasabi and it kind of turns into like this paste. And that's real wasabi. And I want to try that because wasabi sometimes it's way too strong and it hits my nose so hard that I start crying. All right. Let's see. Huh? In the Philippines, McDonald's serves spaghetti. Some of these weird facts are very unexpected. Yes, indeed. The pasta comes with a beef tomato sauce and a piece of McDo fried chicken. I'm sorry, I'm not eating spaghetti at McDonald's. I'm going for that Angus burger or Big Mac or hash brown. Spaghetti just seems a bit off. But yeah. All right. Next one. Lobsters taste with their feet. Their feet. Has taste buds? I'm not sure. Here we go. Tiny bristles inside a lobster's little pincers are their equivalent to human taste buds. Meanwhile, lobsters' teeth are in one of their 3 stomachs. Lobsters are one of these foods some professional chefs cook in the microwave. Okay, well, apparently lobsters taste with their feet, and they're the equivalent to our mouth, or taste buds. I love lobster. I love seafood in general, except for the ones that are way too fishy tasting. It's just not for me. Like squid, tuna, salmon, lobster, octopus, all good for me. Shrimp, no problem whatsoever. But like certain types of oysters, they're just a bit too fishy. All right. Let's move on to the next one. Before toilet paper was invented, Americans used to use corn cobs. I don't really know what corn cobs are. I'll read the description. Alternatively, they'd use periodicals like the farmer's almanac, which was designed with a hole so it could hang in outhouses. Necessity is the mother of invention, after all. Yep, that is it. All right, next one. The shortest war in history lasted 38 minutes. When the Sultan of British-protected Zanzibar died and a new one took over without British approval in 1896, the Brits were not happy. Tension escalated when Sultan Khalid bin Barkhash, I apologize if I completely mispronounce that, refused to step down, but the British warships spent less than 40 minutes bombarding the palace before Khalid fled, marking the very quick end of the Anglo-Zanzibar War. You know what? I love history, but I never really get the time to kind of learn about it. Although I took history in high school, I love to just sit in a history class and just learn about what kind of events or what major events took place in our world and how that influenced how we live today. It's very, very interesting. All right. Next one. Adolf Hitler was nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize. Don't worry. The Swedish politician who sent the letter of nomination in 1939 meant it ironically and withdrew his nomination. In an even more ironic twist, Hitler had banned Germans from accepting the awards 4 years before his own name was thrown in the ring. Okay. Oh my God. Maybe like a month or two ago, I was watching this video. I forgot what it was, but they kind of had this theory that Adolf Hitler is not still alive, but he didn't die during the war. There's like this theory going on of like, yeah, they didn't find a body, but that body was like a woman's body that they claim that it's Adolf Hitler's body. It was very interesting. I don't know. So that just tells us we never really know 100% about anything unless it's in our eyes. But then even if it's in our eyes, how do we for sure know that our eyes isn't just tricking our brain into seeing something that is completely different? You know what I mean? All right. We will get through maybe a couple more and then end this off. All right. Michelangelo wrote a poem about how much he hated painting the Sistine Chapel. That is actually one of my bucket lists, is to see the Sistine Chapel, because number one, I kind of had the motivation to do this because the movie Good Will Hunting, Robin Williams, one of his monologue scenes, he talks about the Sistine Chapel, and it just seems like something that you should see in your lifetime, at least for me. All right, here's the description. One translation of the poem he sent to his friends begin, "I've already grown a goiter from this torture. Hunched up here like a cat in Lombardy." That's the line. Doesn't sound like he was too thrilled with his task. By the way, I'm pretty sure he painted this by hand. And if you look at pictures of the Sistine Chapel and where it's located, he probably would have experienced lifetime physical pain or some sort of dysfunction for doing that, because it's simply, you just can't fathom what kind of position Michelangelo would have been in to complete this piece of artwork. And it's my utmost respect for Michelangelo. All right. Shadows are darker on the moon. I don't really understand that one. Wait, if we go to the description. On Earth, the atmosphere scatters more sunlight, so our shadows aren't too dark. But on the moon, shadows are so dark that Neil Armstrong said he had trouble seeing where he was going. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I kind of want to go to space one day. I probably will never. But even if there was the opportunity, I don't really know if I want to take it. I just feel like it's something that I shouldn't really experience. There's a lot of things that are in our world, and I feel like space and that kind of stuff is just something that is not that relevant, in my opinion. Although, yeah, you know, global warming and maybe Earth's extinction, but I don't know. I feel like I don't want to put more things into my head and assume more things and think about more things than I already am. Although it's fascinating information. All right, we'll move on to the last fun fact and then move on. The Statue of Liberty used to be a lighthouse. About a month after the statue's 1886 dedication, it became a working fight house for 16 years with its torch visible from 24 miles away. That's interesting. I don't really know much about the Statue of Liberty. I haven't seen it. But you know what? One day I will. I will. All right, guys. That's it for my episode today. I hope you guys had a fantastic time listening and tuning in to my episode. There were some really interesting fun facts today, and I hope that some of it made your day, or the song, or any part of my show. But anyways, that's all I got for you guys today. Please come to the AGM. All you need to be is a member, and you can literally become a member when you come. You know, just come here and just sign up. That's all you need to do. But other than that, that's it for today. Have a wonderful day. The weather is shining with brightness and warmth. So go out and enjoy that. All right. Bye-bye, guys.